For the past few weeks, we've looked at several examples of Jesus changing people's lives and eternity. And most of these happened just kind of in the course of his business, you know, things that he was doing. And we're in the middle of a series now, this called As You Go. And we've been looking at examples of Jesus, and he's been changing lives as he went. And the challenge for us is, how do we do the same thing? How do we make sure that we are taking that good news and just sharing it as we go? We've looked at some people that Jesus encountered, starting with the guy who was paralyzed that came. It was brought to Jesus by some friends, lowered through the roof, while Jesus is doing something else. He's teaching a group of people at the home, and certainly that guy's life was changed forever. Most impactful thing that he heard that day was, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then he healed him. And then we looked at the calling of Matthew. Just as Jesus was passing Matthew's booth, he was a tax collector, he said, "Come and follow me." And then Matthew invites all of his friends to come have a meal at Jesus' home, and their lives are changed. The Bible tells us that many of them became followers of Christ. And then, you know, we looked at the example last week of a woman whose life was changed forever. Jesus was on his way to the home of a guy whose daughter was very ill. She was about to die. And on the way to the home, she stopped him. She came up behind him, touched the edge of his robe. She was healed, and Jesus had a conversation with her. I mean, just different examples of Jesus being about his business, but while he's about his business, taking opportunities to share the good news. Today, we're going to look at an example of not Jesus doing that, but one of his followers doing that. And of course, this is the challenge for us. This is the encouragement for us. We have called this series As You Go, and that phrase comes from a little sentence in Matthew 10, verse 7. It says, "As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near." So that's the goal. But I want to be very clear about this. We're actually wrapping up the series today. We're not going to stop taking the good news as we go. This is not a one-time type of a deal. In fact, our focus, as you may know, if you've been around for a little bit this year, our focus in 2024 as a church is reach. How do we reach out to our community? We live in a community that is growing like crazy. And of course, our church reaches people from lots of surrounding areas, lots of surrounding cities. But let's just take Wiley, because that's the area that we find ourselves in. Interesting to see just the growth of Wiley. We planted Gateway in 2001, and that year, the population in the city of Wiley was around 15,000. Fast forward 20 years, 2021, the population has quadrupled by that point to around 60,000. Right now, we sit at 64,000, and we're projected to be at over 70,000 in about 5 years from now. The opportunity is incredible. We have, as a church, we have a window of opportunity to take the good news to people that are moving into this community. And the community continues to grow. And it's not just Wiley. The communities around Wiley are continuing to grow as well. So we have this amazing, amazing opportunity. And we have to take advantage of it. That's the encouragement. The question is, okay, how? How do we go about that? What does that look like? I know most of us that, you know, if we have a relationship with Christ and our lives have been changed, we want to share that. But sometimes we're not real sure how to go about it, right? And does that mean I just have to, you know, go knock on a stranger's door and preach to them? Or what does it look like to share the good news as we go? I want us to turn to Acts chapter 8 today. And we are going to look at the example of Philip. Now, as you're making your way there, Acts 8, starting in verse 26, let me just say this on the front end. I know that we're all wired differently. We all have different personalities. It's not going to look exactly like this for all of us, okay? So don't shut down or tune out and read this and think, there's no way I could do that, so I'm out, right? We'll talk about how these principles apply, no matter our personality, no matter the opportunities that we have. But let's read. Acts 8, starting in verse 26. It says, Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. when Jesus, I'm sorry, that's Luke. I'm like, man, that's crazy. That doesn't sound right. My other Bible marker was in Luke, and it was actually chapter 8. I'm like, what are the odds of that? This is the one that we want. All right, Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation, for his life is taken away from the earth? And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So Philip, great example here of somebody who is looking for opportunities to share the good news as he goes. And as I said, I really want us to pull for some principles here that all of us can apply to our lives. It is going to look different for all of us. The way that we go about this might look different for each of us, but there are some principles that apply to all of us. In verse 26, it begins by saying that there was an angel who told Philip to go south to the road that goes down to Gaza. Now, Philip, we're first introduced to Philip in Acts chapter 6, just a couple of chapters earlier. That's when the apostles asked for some people to be designated. They were looking for people to serve the widows. There were some widows being overlooked, and they said, we need to raise up some people, and they were looking for two things. They were looking for those who were faithful and those who were filled with the Holy Spirit and as a result had wisdom. Philip was one of those. In fact, he's the second one mentioned in the list. First Stephen, and then it talks about Philip. And earlier in this chapter, we see that Philip was preaching the good news in Samaria. Just a little bit about Samaria and what that would have meant to him at this time. Samaria was an area that 750 years earlier was conquered by the Assyrians. When they conquered that area, they took all of the wealthy and middle-class Jewish people and they deported them to other places, and they left the poorest of the Jewish people there. Then they brought in people from afar. These pagan nations were brought in. They intermarried with the poor Jews. That became the Samaritans. So the Jewish people really, really looked down their noses at the Samaritan people. In fact, they called them half-breeds. No Jew wanted to have anything to do with Samaria. So this really speaks to the heart of Philip that he was willing, he wanted to take the good news to them. He wanted to let them know about who Christ was and what he had done. And now he's been brought back to Jerusalem. And when he's in Jerusalem, it says an angel speaks to him and tells him to go to this road. So first thing that we can learn from this, and again, we're looking for, okay, what are some things that we can take and apply and do ourselves? The first one is this, be sensitive to God's leading. To be sensitive to God's leading. I mean, you're probably not going to have an angel that speaks to you and says, this is what I want you to do. But you know that those of us that have a relationship with Christ, if you've come to a point of putting your faith in Jesus, the Bible tells us that we receive a deposit inside of us that guarantees our inheritance. That deposit is the person of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. And he does speak to us. He does guide us. We'll talk about how here in just a moment. But we simply need to learn and develop the discipline of listening to and being guided by the Holy Spirit. And in particular, I want to encourage you to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading in your life when it comes to opportunities to share the love of Christ with people around you, especially as you go. I mean, as you're about your business, as you're walking through your neighborhood, as you are going to work, as you are hanging out with your friends or going out to eat or whatever it may be, what are those opportunities you have as you go to share the good news? And it may be something as simple as just being kind to someone, you know? Start with a smile. Start with expressing some kindness, and maybe there's an opportunity. Ultimately, the goal is to be able to share more about who Christ is, but you can start by developing a relationship. I mean, here's the way I like to think about it. If you think about what we are to be about when it comes to sharing the good news about Christ, it doesn't always work exactly like it does for Philip here. And then we're excited when it does, and that's a wonderful thing. It's not always you have this, you know, five-minute encounter with someone who comes to faith in Christ just right then, right there on the spot. That does happen, and God can do that, and we should be open to those opportunities. But here's another way to look at that. Our goal is to move people a little bit closer to coming to a point of trusting in Christ. If you think about it, I have a little visual here. Let's put that up on the screen, the little line there that gives us an idea. I want you to just think about this line representing two ends of the spectrum. So over here on this side, sorry guys, y'all are the pagans today, but over here on this side is negative 10. The people who are at negative 10, I mean, these are the people that want nothing to do with God whatsoever, are angry about God. Not just that they don't care. I mean, they are actively opposing anything that has to do with God. That's your negative 10, okay? And over here, you wonderful saintly people, you're a positive 10. On the positive 10 side of that line, this is someone who is just ready for taking that next step. I mean, they have become convinced that Jesus is who he claimed to be, that he was God in human flesh, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross for our sins. They're completely aware of their own sin. In fact, their soul is burdened by that. They realize they're imperfect and that separates them from God. And they believe Jesus died for their sins. They believe he rose from the dead. They just need someone to help them take that step of faith, right? What do I do with that? How do I respond? That's a positive 10. So everyone is somewhere between negative 10 and positive 10. The goal is, how do we move someone a little bit further? If you've got someone over here on this end that is, let's say, a negative 8, pretty strongly opposed to God, and through your opportunity you have to interact with that person, if you can move them from a negative 8 to, say, maybe a negative 6, they're still not really close to coming to a point of faith yet, but that's progress. That's a good thing. If you can move someone from a negative 2 to a positive 1, that's a good thing. Now, if there's an opportunity for someone to be moved all the way to a positive 10 and they're ready to, man, that's great. But there are opportunities that we have that if we can simply move someone closer, that's a good thing. And I share that just to say, sometimes I think we get so overwhelmed with the idea of it's my responsibility or my job. I've got to, like, you know, present the whole gospel and call a person to faith right then. We should if the opportunity is there, but it may not work like that all the time. Being sensitive to God's leading means that we're saying, Lord, show me who I need to talk to. Show me where I need to go. And did you notice in this passage that the leading of God was go to this desert road? Did you notice it makes a point to say it was in the desert? Go to this road that leads south to Gaza. I want you to leave the hub of where everything is happening, and I want you to go into the desert to go to Gaza. Doesn't make much sense from our perspective. I wonder if Philip wrestled with that at all, or maybe he's so used to just following God's direction wherever he leads it, maybe it wasn't a big deal for him. If it were me, I might struggle with that just a little bit, because I don't know about you, but I like for things to make sense in my mind, right? I like to plan things out. if we're going somewhere, if we're going to go on vacation or whatever, I'm going to figure out things in advance and plan things out. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I think I'm fairly good at it. Which is why it's so shocking that God has not yet asked my advice for planning out my life or the lives of people around me. I cannot figure out why this is the case. We can joke about that, we can laugh about it, but there's, you know, sometimes there's a little bit too much truth in that too. We know, as Aaron said a moment ago, who's in charge, but sometimes we forget that. And you know, with all due respect to God, who can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, sometimes the things that God does, it doesn't make sense to me at first. You ever been there? Like, okay, this does not make sense to me. It does not make sense to me. Take someone from Jerusalem, from the hub of where all the people are, and put him on a desert road where hardly anybody travels. What's that about? You know the reason it doesn't make sense to me is because I don't see the big picture. Because I'm not God. That's not my job. Our job is simply to follow God's lead, not to instruct him on how he should lead or to evaluate whether he's doing a good job or not. Our job is to say, okay, Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. And if I could just be totally transparent with you, sometimes one of the challenges that I have, I wonder if anybody's ever experienced this before, is when I'm seeking, okay, God, how are you leading? What are you telling me here? What direction do you want me to go? Sometimes I'll think, okay, I think God is leading this way, but then second guess it. Anybody ever do that? It's like, okay, is this really God? Is this God doing it? Am I sure this is God? Or is this maybe just my own idea? Which one is it? Now, to help us illustrate that, I'm going to do something a little different, possibly a little risky. I might regret it and decide never do it again. But I'm going to ask for a volunteer to come join me on stage. Somebody brave, some brave soul. I mean, we've got our young ones. All right, Matthias, come on, buddy. Come on up. Yep, come on up on stage. All right, here's what we're going to do today. I need you. Wow, what an entrance. There you go. It was impressive. All right, you know how to blindfold yourself?
Sure.
Okay, there you go. So I don't have to do that to you. Put that on, blindfold yourself, and stay away from the front of the stage, okay? Because we don't want that happening. All right, so while he's getting that blindfold on, let me tell you what's going to happen here. He's going to blindfold himself, and Stephen is going to help us out here for just a minute. I just totally gave that away, didn't I? That's okay. All right. We're going to find someone, Matthias, to say hello to you. All right. So this is Matthias. I need somebody to just say to him with a microphone, you're going to say, hello, Matthias. How are you doing today? And you're going to tell us who it is. Okay. Go ahead.
Good morning, Matthias. How are you today?
Who was that?
I am doing so well. And you're... I wish I knew your voice better.
You're not getting it. Okay, leave it on. Yeah, no. Okay, so you don't know who it is, right?
No.
Okay, let's try it with another person. Let's hear a second voice here.
Hey, Matthias.
Oh, hi, Kaylin.
Can I just tell you that if you got that wrong, we would have big, big problems. Yes. Okay, y'all can figure out why later on. All right, you can take your blindfold off for a minute if you want here. So here's the deal. So you didn't recognize the first voice, but you did the second. Why?
Because I spend almost every day with
Kaylin. Yeah, there you go. You spend almost every day with Kaylin. There you go. And that's it. And here's the thing, by the way, thank you. Can we tell him thank you for coming up? You did an amazing job. We'll go ahead and let you go sit back down by Kaylin again. You're awesome. Yeah, you got to go off the front of the stage again there. There we go. Perfect. Isn't it true that we recognize the voice of those that we spend time around, right? That's just the reality. When it comes to recognizing the voice of the Holy Spirit, when it comes to really, is this God leading or not? The more we listen, the more time we spend in the presence of God, the more likely we are to recognize his voice when he speaks and to know, okay, this is the voice of God versus maybe not. Maybe this is some other voice. You know, the best way we can do that is just by absorbing as much scripture as we possibly can, letting God's word get into us. But then there are also times where we just kind of sense the nudging of God. You know, sometimes he speaks very clearly, black and white through scripture, and that just settles it. There are other times where it's more, okay, I think God's leading this way. Let me pray about it more. Let me listen more. Again, just give you a silly example, but maybe there's something you can relate to from my own life. Something I've been praying about for a little while now is how do I, if find opportunities to make more connections in our community. You've heard me say that before if you've been around. And one of the best ways that that happened for me in years past was by attending a business card exchange, the Wiley Chamber of Commerce Business Card Exchange. It meets on Wednesday mornings at 8 o'clock, so 8 to 9 on Wednesday mornings. And for a long time, pre-COVID, that was something that was just a regular part of my schedule. Obviously, that kind of stopped for a little while during COVID. I discovered during that break that my absolute best time to prep for Sunday mornings is Wednesday mornings from about 7:30 to 11. That's just kind of my key time when I get the most done and most important time for me. So I'm wrestling with this. Good time for prep, also opportunity to connect with the community. Which one do I do? Been praying about that and really have since God saying, at least for this season, I think I want you to go, which I did this past week. But I use that as an example to say, sometimes it's not just the major, you know, huge life decision things that we need to ask for guidance from the Holy Spirit. It can be the simple things too. And just listening and saying, okay, God, I'm going to see which way you're going to lead me. And if we can do that in this area of sharing the good news as we go, we'll be in good shape. Now, one last thing before we move on to the next idea is, as we're learning to listen to God's voice, we also need to pray every single day that God will put people in our path that we'll have the opportunity to talk to about the good news of Christ. That's where it starts, is Lord, bring people to me. Help me to be aware and help me to see those opportunities when they do come. Now, once we do that, we're ready for the second thing that we see Philip doing, and that is risk following God's lead. Risk following God's lead. I use that term risk because that's what it feels like often, doesn't it? Especially when it comes to seeking to have some kind of conversation about our faith. That can feel a little bit risky. When God says to Philip, I want you to go up next to this chariot, there were a lot of risks involved there, right? I mean, just a few of them that came to mind off the top of my head. One, he might look like a complete fool running beside a chariot. He might get tired. What if he's not able to keep up with the chariot? He might get so winded that he can't talk. Have you ever tried to carry on a conversation while you were running? Not the easiest thing in the world to do, right? The chariot driver might ignore him or just tell him to get lost. He might not be able to communicate with him. I mean, after all, this guy's from Ethiopia, so there's a different background. Or it could have been that he just rejected him entirely, rejected the gospel entirely. And you can keep filling in the blanks. There are all kinds of reasons we can come up with that when we have an opportunity to talk to someone about faith in Christ, it feels risky. Now, I say that because it feels risky. It really isn't. And here's a good question to ask ourselves, especially in our context. Now, this isn't really true in every part of the world, but right here where we live, we can ask ourselves this question. What's the worst thing that can happen? You know? You try to have a conversation with someone about your faith. What's the worst thing that can happen? They laugh at you? They tell you to get lost? You know, they call you a religious nut? I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? And the opportunity, the flip side of that, what's the best that's going to happen? Somebody's life might get changed, and their eternity might get changed as a result of that. So it's definitely worth it. But sometimes it feels a little bit more risky than it actually is. But it also helps when we realize there are times that God is working on somebody's heart, but you don't know it until you follow God's prompting to try to have some kind of conversation. Philip had no idea what God was doing in the heart of this Ethiopian man until he ran up next to the chariot, right? And when he got up next to the chariot, what did he find? I'm thinking that this must have been a big relief for him because, you know, all you know is God says, run up next to the chariot. You don't know what's going to happen. So you take a risk, you follow God's lead, you run up next to the chariot, and the guy sitting in the chariot is reading Isaiah 53 out loud. Now, if I'm Philip, I'm thinking, this is awesome, right? This is great. I mean, this is an open door. Obviously, this is somebody that is certainly over here on this end of the spectrum, right? A +8, +9, maybe +10. God has prepared him. We don't know really anything about him. It's unusual that an official from Ethiopia would be going to Jerusalem to worship the God, the one true God. It's unusual that he would be reading from the Old Testament scripture, but somehow God had been doing something to prepare him, and his heart was ready, and so Philip had the opportunity to share with him. Sometimes it doesn't work that way, right? Sometimes you pray for opportunities, you try to follow God's lead, and you try to have a conversation, and it's not going to go that well. It's not going to be that softball lob to you of, you know, I'm reading Isaiah 53 out loud. Can you tell me what this means? Sometimes you might get shut down. And when that happens, please hear me on this. It's okay to back off a little bit. You don't have to try to cram Jesus down someone's throat that doesn't want him. Sometimes the best things we can do is just to back off just a little bit. And you know, by doing that, maybe you're going to move someone from a -8 to a -7 or -6 just simply because of the way you handled that interaction. But realize that it's okay to back off a little bit. When we do our three circles training, which is a tool that we use, I'd encourage you, if you've not been through that, to look for those opportunities that'll be coming up to do it. But when we go through that training, we talk about red light, yellow light, and green light. That there are some people that a red light is just, you know, far into that side of the spectrum. They shut down, they're not interested, don't want to hear it. Then you have those that are a yellow light, which is kind of, yeah, maybe somewhat open, but still not, they're just, you know, not completely shut down. And then you've got green light, which is, this is somebody that is spiritually open. The Ethiopian eunuch here is definitely a green light. This is someone that God has been working on. And what we are looking for are just, okay, where are those green lights? And again, I would remind you, you sometimes don't know that until you start a conversation, until you're willing to take a risk. That's when you find out. And once you do take that risk, and you start to have a conversation, here's the last thing, third principle I want to share with you today, and that is that we steer the conversation to Jesus. That's the goal. Now, in this case, pretty simple. Reading about, in Isaiah 53, which is a prophecy about the coming Messiah. It's a prophecy about Jesus being crucified for us. But when you know, he's reading things like, a sheep was led to the slaughter, and a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. It's pretty easy to go from that to the gospel, talking about Christ and how he died for us. Sometimes it doesn't happen quite that smoothly, and it might not be quite that easy. But I want to encourage you to be intentional about steering the conversation to Christ, because here's what happens a lot of times, and I think an example of this in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Jesus meets a woman who is just living a rough life, and everyone else had rejected her, and he's talking to her about living water, and he tells her to go and call her husband and to come back. And her response is, I don't have a husband. To which Jesus responds, that's a true statement. You've had 5 already, and the man you're with now is not your husband. Well, at this point, you can imagine how shocking that would have been to her. Her eyes are open. She says, sir, I can see that you're a prophet. And you know the next thing she says after that? She says, you know, you Jews say that you worship there. We say we should worship here. What's the real answer? You know what I think she's doing? She's trying to divert the conversation off to some theological tangent, right? That happens. Try to have a conversation with someone, and they want to talk about, well, what about the contradictions? I'd say, suppose there really aren't contradictions in the Bible. What about where the Bible contradicts itself? Or how could a loving God allow these terrible things to happen in our world? Or, well, what does the Bible say about homosexuality and this and that, and isn't that intolerant? It's all these side issues, right? Things that aren't really the main issue that it's easy to get diverted on. Let me just encourage you to steer the conversation back to Jesus. That's the ultimate goal. It's not that those side things are unimportant, that they don't matter, but keep the main thing the main thing. When you have opportunity to have a conversation, steer it back to Christ. You know, if we get that part of the conversation right, if we can settle on who Jesus is, that he really is who he said he was, that he is God in human flesh, that came here because he loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's why Jesus came. And he came because our sin separates us from a God who's perfect and he's holy. And there's no way for us to be able to bridge that gap on our own. Only Christ could do that. That's the heart of the conversation. Jesus is the one who came to pay the penalty for sins that you and I owe. Let's get that right first. Let's not get sidetracked and focused on all these other side conversations, but let's talk about, who do you say Jesus really is? And I wonder for some of us today, if that's a question that you've been wrestling with. I wonder if any of us are trying to decide, okay, who do I say Jesus is? And if we were to look at that line again and say, where do you find yourself on that line if you haven't yet come to faith in Christ? I wonder if there's anybody that's over on this end, positive 8, positive 9, positive 10. It's like, you know, I'm ready. I know that I need a Savior. I know that I've messed things up on my own, that I'm sinful, meaning anything that we do that falls short of God's standard. I'm not perfect. I believe Jesus died for me, and he rose again on the third day. But listen, we have to respond to that. We have to make a decision to put our trust in Christ. And if you haven't taken that step yet, I want to give you an opportunity to do it right now. Because maybe there's somebody here that's in that plus 10 category. It's like, I'm ready to go. I need to take that step. If so, I want you to pray a prayer with me. In fact, let's all just bow our heads for a moment. I just want to speak specifically to anybody in the room right now that hasn't yet taken that step of faith. I want to invite you to do it. I want to invite you to open your heart to Christ, to acknowledge that you need him and that there's nothing you can do on your own to be made right with God. And if your desire is to put your trust in Christ and just pray a prayer like this, you can just repeat these things back in your heart to him. Jesus, I'm ready to give myself fully to you. I confess that I'm sinful. I believe you died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead and ascended back to heaven. Right now, I turn away from my sins and I place my full trust in you. I'm yours completely. Thank you for saving me. Just continue to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. But if anybody prayed that prayer of faith, would you just look up, maybe lift your hand and say, that was me. I prayed that prayer today, trusting in Christ for the first time. Is there anybody that made that step? We'd just love to know that. All right. You guys can look back up. Now let me speak for just a moment to those of us that do have a relationship with Christ. You do know him, but maybe aren't as active in sharing your faith as you'd like to be. My encouragement for you today is to just be open to the Spirit's leading. Let God put you in those situations. And maybe a great step for you today would be to come and just pray with somebody and say, I need more boldness. You know, or maybe to say, I know Jesus, I've trusted in him, but I really need to get my life back in right relationship with him again. Before we leave today, we want to give you an opportunity to take a next step of faith. And in just a moment, our worship team's going to lead us through another song here. And I'm going to be available, and others of our staff will too. Right outside these doors, there's a room right back on the other side behind the barn doors that says Next Step Center. We just want to invite you to come. Whatever that next step is, maybe it's finding community. Maybe it's getting plugged in to the church. Maybe it's finding a place to serve. Maybe it's saying, I just want to pray that I have greater boldness in sharing my faith. Whatever that next step is, we want to invite you to take that right now. So let's go ahead and stand together as our team leads us. I'd encourage you to come see us, come share what that next step of faith is now. Just slip out as we begin to sing.